This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio went to the polls on Saturday for the runoff election for our municipal election. We ended up with a new mayor and six council elections as well. It turns out, as with the two election dates put together, it's six new city council members. And we're taking a look at what we ended up with and if this means a new direction for San Antonio. We invite you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. What is your take on the outcome of our municipal elections? You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can also tweet us at thesource. Joining us right now to talk about this is Gilbert Garcia. He's a Metro columnist for the San Antonio Express News, and Walt Wilson is here. He's associate professor at the UTSA Department of Political Science and Geography. So to kick things off, welcome both of y'all.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead, and we have a voicemail, a person asking a question about what's happening here.
My name is Glenn, and having seen the election of the new mayor and city council, I think probably they're first priority in this city should be the development of a comprehensive and consistent rapid transit system in and along the I-35 corridor between San Antonio, New Braunfels, and Austin.
Okay, asking for light rail or a comprehensive mass transit system. So Gilbert Garcia, is this something that you think San Antonio will see?
I think Ron Nuremberg has already said that some kind of comprehensive transportation plan is going to be one of the first things he's going to tackle. And I think that's what's going to be very interesting because, we don't know exactly what form this will take, but I think he shares the view that former Mayor Julian Castro had, which was that we need to be very aggressive as far as public transportation. Obviously, we've all heard about how this community is going to gain more than 1 million people over the next 25 years. Traffic is already a problem. And, 3 years ago, we saw the streetcar system, that plan shut down. And
it was shut down when Julian Castro left the mayor's office, which opened the door for Ivy Taylor to become mayor. Then she hit the pause button, which she hit quite frequently, and then never came, and it was done.
And we don't know if it's what's going to come. And one of the interesting things is we have a lot of new council members. I think Ron Nuremberg will be able to work with most of them, and I think he'll be able to build consensus for his agenda. But one interesting new member is Greg Brockhaus in District 6, and he not only worked with the police union, but he also was one of the people that led the petition drive against streetcar. And it was that sort of political opposition that was building when Ivy Taylor decided, you know, we're not going to continue with this. So if we see some kind of move for an ambitious public transportation plan from Ron Nuremberg, I think it'll be interesting to see how he deals with potential opposition from Greg Brockhaus.
Right. But, you know, Greg Brockhaus, I mean, that was pretty much a proxy fight to take down a streetcar over the contract negotiations for the firefighters. Not necessarily, you know, they wanted to just stick their thumb in the eye of City Manager Scully and City Hall, and this is the way they thought they could do it.
Yeah, and the public safety unions took the stance, you know, if we need basic services, if we're not, we need to focus on that and not be spending on these other things.
So, Walt Wilson, taking a look at the outcome at the election from Saturday, what do you see?
I think, the caller was right to emphasize transportation first and foremost. That's also the major issue that I've heard coming out of the Nuremberg campaign that sets him apart, I think. And, you know, that's going to be a challenging issue, even if he can find consensus on the council, because of funding issues. You know, what we're seeing increasingly is an effort by the legislature in Austin to find ways to limit the ability of municipalities to fund their own projects. And of course, we're seeing, things like earmarks become a dirty word in Washington. Earmarks are what build big projects like a multimodal transit system. And so, I personally think that it's something that the city needs. It's something that most major cities require to function effectively, but the challenges going forward in terms of funding are going to be great, even if we can find consensus on it.
Yeah, finding the money for a mass transit system or a rail, we don't even fund it at the same level that other cities do. We've maxed out our sales tax in San Antonio. That means something has got to give. That's either going to have to be a pre-K for SA or the money that we use to buy up green space over the aquifer, and that's something that's going to be politically sensitive. Or are we going to bonds or some other new taxing system in order to come up with a way to pay for it? And you're right, Walt, that Austin's trying to limit that. But looking at the overall, Walt, the what we ended up with, I mean, did San Antonio voters come out and say we were reacting to anything? Is our council, according to Julian Castro, when I talked to him election night, he says that this was a change election shifting San Antonio to the left. Do you see that?
I definitely would agree with that. On the north side in District 9, we saw John Courage replace one of the more conservative members of the council. We definitely have a more progressive mayor on council now, and we saw progressives win in several other races. And so, I do think that the council has shifted in a bit the more liberal direction. Now, that being said, I think that this is fundamentally a fairly liberal city. When the conservative coalition elects Ivy Taylor, who is not a particularly conservative candidate, it suggests something about, where the median voter in this city is, which is somewhat left of center, I think.
I would say, too, that, if you really look at the electorate of San Antonio, we really have a lot of sub-electorates. And, 13% of the registered voters came out. If those 13%, if they had stayed home and a different 13% had come out, we would have seen very different results. So, obviously, it comes down to enthusiasm, energy. And I think that, we've definitely seen both locally and nationally, there's a lot of energy on the left since Donald Trump got elected. We've seen the rise of the Indivisible movement, which is almost like a Tea Party uprising in reverse, and a lot of focus on the 2018 midterm election. So it felt like this was the energy that we saw in the John Courage race, where he had a lot of Bernie Sanders, young Bernie Sanders supporters working for him in a very conservative district, and he won. And then we saw, Ron Nuremberg be able to pull off that upset. I think that's where you see a lot of energy on the left right now.
And do you see that also in some of these other city council races? I mean, Ezra Johnson, he lost against Clayton Perry in District 10. So I don't know if you can draw comparisons between 9 and 10.
Yeah, I think, it comes down to individual candidates and obviously energy is one thing. You have to have some funding. You have to have an organization. And I thought Ezra Johnson actually ran a really close race in District 10, given the dynamics there. You saw Ana Sandoval in the general election defeat an incumbent in District 7, and she's someone who went to school with the Castros. I think is very, someone that they support very strongly, and I think she'll be a progressive voice in the council. So, you can't take one message from it, but I think that overall, I think the council did move to the left.
So coming back from this break, we'll see what we might expect from this council and from the new mayor. Will it really make a difference in the policies and ordinances that come out of San Antonio, or even some of the positions that we adopt publicly with resolutions that may challenge the state and Washington, D.C. on the hard right that we're seeing on those venues? You're invited into into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking about the outcome of our city elections. This is The Source. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the outcome of the elections. What are the takeaways from San Antonio's 2017 mayoral and city council elections? We invite you into our conversation. What did you think happened? Number is 210-614-8980. So Gilbert Garcia, a columnist for the San Antonio Express News, what is the bigger story? Obviously, the cosmetics of a new mayor is big, but is it more dramatic and going to have bigger outcomes, bigger impact on San Antonio that we have a brand new, pretty much a brand new city council? 6 of 10 seats are brand new, and it seems like that's going to be able to, they're the ones who are going to make all the votes.
That's right. And, Ron Nuremberg, I was talking to someone last week who actually likes Ron Nuremberg, but was saying, if he wins, it's going to be really hard for him to be effective, because so many times on the council, he would be the one vote in opposition to something, or he'd be one of two votes. For instance, he was one of two votes in opposition to the police contract. He was the lone vote against the on the city barge contract. But what we've seen is this is a new council. This isn't the same council that he has been working with for 4 years. And so he's going to, I think he's going to have several people that he's going to be able to work with. It's going to be ambitious, I think, in terms of policy. We talked about transportation. I think he's talked about housing. I think I would not be surprised if he starts with ethics reform, because that's something that Julian Castro started with as a kind of an early statement that you want transparency and clean government. But I also think just stylistically, he's going to be someone who's going to be out there a lot on social media. He's going to be out interacting with the community in different venues, because I think he wants civic engagement is the thing that he seems to get more excited about than anything else. And I think he's going to want to be much stronger on that front.
And Walt Wilson, associate professor at UTSA Department of Political Science and Geography, what are you expecting from the city council now?
Well, I think that we might expect a little bit more aggressive agenda from the city council this term than we have seen in the previous term. And I think there's several reasons for that. I mean, number one, I think Mayor Taylor, you know, was somewhat hamstrung by a relatively shallow coalition. I don't think that her supporters in 2015 were really invested heavily in her. And I think that limited her ability to push an agenda very aggressively. I think we are going to see something a little bit different with Ron Nirenberg. Another thing that I think is different about these candidates is that I see Nirenberg sort of taking a very, I don't want to say traditional exactly, but a very straightforward approach about how you succeed politically, which is you put forth what you think are the best ideas and you try to fight for them and see what happens. I don't see him taking nearly as many kind of politically motivated positions, or at least I haven't seen that during his record as councilman, which suggests that perhaps he doesn't have as much progressive ambition as some other members of council wanting to move up to state office or whatever. And if he has, you know, a commitment to the city that I think he's shown as a councilman, we may see some fairly strong leadership coming out of the mayor's office in this next session.
Let's go to the phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980, and John is on the line. And John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Go ahead.
As a resident in District 2, I kind of felt a little bit that Mrs. Taylor kind of resonated with me. I know Nirenberg and many of you guys on the panel are kind of itching for that light rail system towards Austin. But Taylor kind of, you know, she kind of represented us in the inner city. In your opinion, what do you think Nirenberg's going to do to kind of help us in the east side, you know, east central district? Thank you for taking my question.
All right, John, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. So, Gilbert Garcia, is this a loss for the east side, the Promise Zone?
I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think the challenge on the east side and in other parts of the city has to do with housing. We've seen stories recently about how housing affordability is becoming a real problem in San Antonio, that we could be moving in the direction of a city like Austin, where it's just going to become very difficult for people to move here and for people to be able to stay here. And I think that's one of the things he really wants to tackle. We did have a housing bond, which I think is going to address that to some degree. But I think that's what he's going to look at. And I don't know what solutions he's going to have, but I do think that with regard to the east side, I think that's going to be the most impactful thing that he's going to be dealing with.
Well, District 2 did get a new city council person. This is, you know, Caruso Shaw.
This was a machine built by the community.
Yeah.
From day one, we were broke. We went out there together and knocked on doors, talked to people. We heard real issues from people, from constituents in this district. Now it's time to resolve those issues. And I can't do it alone. I'm going to need each and every one of you in this district to assist and help out on boards and commissions and getting involved with your neighbor associations.
All right.
We're going to stay active. We're going to make sure this district moves forward.
Gilbert Garcia, so the east side gets a new city council person. Cruz Shaw steps in for Alan Warrick, who basically self-destructed with his episode, you know, having too much to drink and then falling asleep on the park bench in front of City Hall. That's not good. But still, what does this mean for, I mean, is Cruz Shaw going to be able to, you know, it's an opportunity for him.
Yeah, and in some ways, is reminiscent of Ivy Taylor when she was elected to council in District 2 8 years ago. She was someone who came in, because he hasn't been living in District 2 that long, and that was the case with her. I think she had been in the district for about a year or 2 years, and I think at the time was kind of welcomed as a candidate because she seemed to represent kind of maybe a fresh approach. And so I think we're going to have to see. I think, as you said, with Alan Warrick, I think the problems he had were not really about policy direction or anything like that, but just some of these the personal issues and the way he handled them when he particularly this recent episode.
Okay, and so another caller was Steve. And Steve, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, I wanted to say, because this is a topic near and dear to my heart, I love my city, and I genuinely believe that Ivy, even though I have nothing against her in particular, that she only wanted to have a certain constituency, the religious right. She showed repetitively over and over again that she would pander to them and to certain corporate and wealthy interests, but she had no intention of being the mayor for all of the people of San Antonio and our wonderful diversity. The LGBT community and how she shunned us and shut us out, speaks volumes. And Ron isn't going to do that. So I think that this vote, especially for the mayoral race, was a referendum on our values and what we stand for as a city. Okay. We want to be the gateway to the Americas, and I believe that Ron will continue in the vein of Julian and actually help us along that path. And Ivy wanted to close us off.
All right, Steve, thank you for your point. I appreciate that. So did Ivy's missteps in dealing with the LGBTQ community, talking about homeless people as broken people who needed to have a relationship with God, being resistant to filing a city lawsuit in regards to the sanctuary cities, did this kind of build a constituency that could be used against her and also created a lot of enthusiasm for people who wanted to vote for Ron, Walt Wilson?
Yeah, I think that it certainly did not help her campaign. I mean, if we look at the way that she campaigned and some of the press that she got about her liberal Ron website and so on, she was banking on what often happens in our local elections, which is that they're very low turnout. And that means that the most engaged voters, who tend to be wealthier, older, and more conservative, are going to be the majority. And she was banking on that being the case in this runoff election. And I just think that, she did not anticipate perhaps the enthusiasm on the other side and might have run a little bit broader-based, more inclusive campaign had she, been able to foresee who was going to turn out.
Gilbert, one thing that was interesting about this is that in 2015, she won basically with a lot of help from the Northside conservative vote. And it seemed initially to me that she was, that once she had been established as an elected mayor, that she was going to try to be more of a unifying figure this time around. She had her campaign manager in 2015, who was also Will Hurd's campaign manager. She decided not to use him this time, and I felt that she was kind of going for more of a broad sort of appeal. But as we got to the home stretch here, and I think she could see that her reelection prospects were in danger, I think that they started going more to this sort of the liberal Ron attack and trying to kind of suppress the progressive vote. And I think that's it didn't work this time.
How badly is Joe Cryer's absence going to be felt on City Council, Gilbert?
I don't know that his absence will be felt in a big way. I mean, it's just going to be a different type of representative. You're going to have in John Courage. I mean, he's talking about trying to incentivize getting people to move downtown into the South Side And he's talked about, you know, the disparity we have in education in different parts of the city and trying to have growth in other parts of the city and not necessarily the north side. And he represents the north side, but he's talking about the need to
take the pressure off the growth in the north side by having other people, you know, move to other parts of San Antonio.
Which could be a good thing for the area he represents, but it's not the usual thing that we'd hear from somebody in that district.
Well, you know, Joe Cryer represented conservative voters worried about, you know, their property taxes and things like that, but he was also someone that everyone else in town could work with. He was a straight shooter conservative who was willing to listen. So, I mean, that's I think is a great thing to have in our political body.
Yeah, and I think the thing with John Courage is as much as we see him as a liberal Democrat, he also is somebody who I think was able to connect, partly because he's kind of a neighborhood guy. He has a sort of down-to-earth sort of quality about him, and I think he really has been listening to neighbors' concerns. So I think as far as constituent services that we think of as a part of the job, I think he's going to be effective there.
And Walt Wilson, why do you think Leticia Vandeput couldn't beat Ivy Taylor when Ron Nuremberg was able to?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, but I think a lot of it has to do with timing. You know, the 2015 elections, I think, increasingly, we have to, you know, and maybe this is very unfortunate, view our local and state elections in the context of national politics. And so we see kind of ebbs and flows in terms of the intensity with which voters are embracing a liberal or conservative bent. And I think that in 2015, we saw sort of an ascendancy that culminated in the November elections last year with the election of Donald Trump. And, you know, since that time, you know, I mean, here we have a president who was elected with a minority of the vote, and we have seen his numbers in terms of approval plummet since then, and, you know, a pretty emboldened opposition. And so I think the combination of those factors helps to explain why a more progressive candidate had greater success this time around.
You know, cities across America, progressive cities, are standing up to or taking a stand against the Trump administration, calling him out for the rejection of the Paris Accord and other. And so do you think San Antonio now with this council and a new mayor, Walt, will be one of those cities?
I think there's a good possibility of it. I mean, I think that some things, and Mayor Taylor deserves some credit for this, have happened during the previous session that are going to assist that, specifically paying the council members a living wage. I think that we're likely over time to see council members who are more committed to the job, to staying in the job, less concerned about playing political favorites because they have some individual economic security. And I think, you know, Mayor Taylor deserves a lot of credit for getting that passed because I think it's going to lead to better decisions from our council and more leadership from the city.
We started off the program with you talking about Greg Brockhaus, the new city council person from District 6, Gilbert. So what are you expecting him to do?
Well, you know, he's smart, he's articulate, and he knows how to...
Ambitious.
You know, ambitious. He knows how to organize people on a certain issue. So I think he's also someone who has been very critical of City Manager Cheryl Skelly. One of the things we haven't talked about too much is that Ron Nuremberg, among the candidates in this race from the very beginning, was the one I think who had the most positive relationship with Cheryl Skelly. Greg Brockhaus is going to be...
He may become the voice of the loyal opposition on City Council.
Right.
All right. I want to thank both of our guests, Gilbert Garcia, columnist for the San Antonio Express News, Walt Wilson, associate professor for the Department of Political Science and Geography at the University of Texas at San Antonio. When we come back, we're going to look at extreme maps, how they draw congressional maps here in the United States and what it means for outcomes in Congress. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.